Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. Calliope Awards for 2017 were presented on Tuesday, April 25th. I'm Shirley Noon from Nova Annandale. Calliope is the name of a Greek muse. She is wise and talented and probably very busy. Human beings have called on Calliope to inspire their writing, art, and music. And Nova Annandale is inspired. Calliope is the name of the Student Journal of Art and Literature. It is published every spring at our campus. Calliope is a collaboration of the Departments of English and Liberal Arts under sponsorship of the Division of Languages and Literature. We are presenting outstanding works by creative individuals. Here they are. Get ready to be inspired. Winner in the category of fiction. First prize, Claire Quinn, What Rises from the Hungry Grass.
What rises from the hungry grass? The Irish moon curled like a crafty smile over the peat bog, illuminating the midnight world in its golden hue. Eileen had hiked her skirt up past her knees and far over her wellies, careful not to lose one as she sloshed through the mud. She didn't imagine she could explain a boot having gone missing overnight to her mother in the light of day. The rain began again, just a drizzle this time, but now she could make out Seamus Flanagan's fuzzy thorn through the distortion of the water, sunken in their meeting place past his ankles. "You didn't need to wait for me, you know," Eileen said, leaning into his body for a moment and stealing a kiss. "I knew you'd come eventually." He grinned then, softening all his features before claiming another kiss, longer, sweeter, as he pressed her to him. "Let's find somewhere drier." She nodded, hand clasped in his and squeezing like it was her last chance. It could be. She wasn't sure how long they would have. Whether Seamus or her family or Seamus's da would accept her when someone noticed. They were bound to notice soon, she mused, passing her other hand across her belly as she had found herself doing of late. It wasn't the kind of, there was a hand. A hand stretching out of the bog, illuminated in the moonlight and blurred by the rain. Like the devil rising from a wet hell to claim sinners, orange fingers clasped talon-like around the toe of Eileen's boot. "Seamus," she cried, "help! Jesus, Mary, and Joseph." Seamus clutched her hand harder, tugging her through the muck as they splashed away and away. A thought came to Seamus while stumbling through the bog, an unpleasant, unbidden, altogether unwanted thought. "Eileen," he panted, drawing them to a halt, "we have to go back." "The hell you say," she exclaimed, taking a step back. "I'm never going back again. It's the devil himself come to claim us." "No, Eileen, think about it. Did the hand look womanly to you?" "No, I don't know, maybe. I'm not going back." She shuffled from one foot to the other and back again, the bog squelching beneath her to refill the empty space. "Because my da, you know how he gets. You know." She nodded slowly, eyes narrowing to slits. "You know he'd hit my mom." She nodded again. Everyone knew, and some didn't blame her for up and leaving for it. "I'm not sure she left." "What? My da, he would threaten sometimes to bury her alive. Out here where nobody would find her body, where nobody'd bless her." Eileen looked into his haunted eyes, mirrored perfectly by her own. "I can't leave her. She's my mom," he said. She nodded, sighing. "I don't want to tell anyone, though. My da isn't a good man, but he's sick now. He'd die in jail. But here's what we'll do. We'll bring her to the church graveyard, bury her somewhere there. Somewhere out of the way, but where I can go and pray to her sometimes." "I think your da deserves to be strung up, burying her alive." "Don't say that." The wild light in Seamus's eyes scared Eileen a little, and she didn't like the way he was shaking her shoulders, so she nodded again. "This has to be our secret. Nobody can know but us. Nobody can know." "I reckon it was all the rain. Carried her to the surface," he stated as they tried to find the spot again by the golden light of the moon splintered across the water. It was slow going, and Eileen worried they could spend all night out there. "I'm not just doing this for me," said Seamus when he noticed her face. "Anyone could find her, and your parents might not let me marry you if my da becomes a murderer." "Wait, marry? Don't you want to?" he frowned. "I thought you would, with the baby coming." "You knew," she whispered, blinking back tears. "I mean, you want me?" "Of course I want you, Eileen. Haven't I shown you I want you? You're having my baby. Of course I want you. Don't you want me?" She opened her mouth, altogether unsure of what might come out when Seamus stopped. This is her. She didn't look like Seamus's mom when she was out of the ground. She didn't look like much of anything. In fact, Aline wasn't sure the body was a she at all. It was orange, shiny in the same way as the mother of pearl earrings her mother wore to church every week. Bony and emaciated, it was the kind of thing Aline might expect to appear in tales of the old Eoshi, the fairies rumored to live in mounds and hills. "Are you sure this is your mom?" she whispered, wondering if she might never have to touch it again, if Seamus might say it wasn't, and let them leave and pretend they'd never seen anything that night. "Didn't your mom have hair?" "Who else could it be?" he snapped, slapping his hair from his face. "Nobody else has gone missing. It's her." The thing was heavy for its gaunt form, even with Seamus carrying most of the weight, and reflected the moonlight into his straining face, distorting it into something older, something harder, something other than the Seamus she knew. They left it in the woods outside the church, Aline swearing she would return the next night to help bury it. The moon was dipping low on the horizon, and Seamus was worried they would need time and shovels to get the job done right. Thank you.
Winner in the category of prose, English as a second language. First prize, Sahana Taba, Search for Heaven.
Search for Heaven. On July 31st, 2016, my parents came back from Manang, Nepal, and my mother could not stop herself from talking about how beautiful Tidicho Lake, the highest lake in the world, was. I always look up to my mother as an inspiration, and this story she told me blew my mind. Driving to Manang village was very scary, she went on. The road was so dangerous, only one jeep at a time. The danger of this trip, she mentioned, gave me shivers down my spine. She also said the stars looked so close to Earth, it gave me the feeling of being in some other world. I wanted to experience what she experienced as well. So that day, October 16, 2016, finally came. On October 16, my mom and I packed our bags and headed to Manang. On our way to Manang, we came across this mystic hill named Sorgadwari, and that beautiful rock hill was wider and taller than any hills I had ever seen before. The driver of our jeep explained that the hill is known as Stairway to Heaven, and dear God, it was. Half of the hill was covered by clouds, and because of that, it looked so magical. Along the way came another breathtaking waterfall. Charmed by its fresh scent and breeze, I felt like I was in another world. Just like how my mother felt, where life was nothing but beautiful. I was startled by the charisma of Manang, and for the first time in my life, I was living in the moment. I had nothing to worry about. I was free. It was 8 in the evening when we arrived at our destination, Manang. We had been inside the jeep for 13 hours straight, and as I took my first step out of the jeep, I screamed. I screamed at the top of my voice, and my mom laughed. She knew exactly why I was screaming and at what. The night was so beautiful, my eyes could not believe what I was witnessing. It was the stars, and I stood there facing up, gazing at stars for straight 20 minutes. The weather was chilly as the altitude was 3,519 meters. When we were hiking towards the base camp, I had thoughts that changed me forever. As a kid, I always thought about what heaven would look like when I grew up. I gave up thinking about heaven, making myself believe it all belonged to fairy tales we heard as kids, and suddenly I felt like I was hit by lightning. I paused and I could feel the calmness taking over the anxiety I always had. And that's when I realized that it was the heaven I'd always been searching for. I'd never felt gratitude towards life. That night at base camp, I was apprehensive. My perception changed towards life. I adored the local people of the base camp, how their world was without technology, and how everyday chores in their life were to take care of people like us, their guests. They treated us more like gods. That's how it is in Nepal. Guests are equal to gods. That's what I thought at first. But soon I realized that we were no gods to them, but we were like their family. At minus 9 degrees Celsius in the early morning, they would be up preparing hot water and warm food for us. Not just that, but also food that we could take with us during our hike to the lake. They didn't do it for money, they did it out of love. They taught me how to love without expecting anything in return. When we reached the highest lake on earth, I had learned and experienced life. I learned how to love, but most importantly, I learned that the heaven I was in search for had always been within me. It was my life, and it is all about how I want to perceive and live it, and make every day of my life a heaven to walk in. My trip to Manang taught me who I want to be and how I want my world to be. I will always be thankful.
Calliope gives many thanks to faculty, staff, and students for their generous support and creativity. Robert Brown of Nova's Web Services and Digital Media served as technical editor of this podcast. Nova, believe, aspire, achieve. See you next year. For Calliope, I'm Shirley Noon.